that Jesus was teaching the folks. It says that he sat down on the side of the hill and he called everybody together. He basically then lays out for them the kingdom of God. As we talked about last time, a couple of weeks ago when we started this, the folks were expecting this Messiah to come and set up a physical realm. He was going to come and set up a new kingdom, get rid of Rome, set up a new kingdom, new throne, new king and everything. As Jesus begins to begins his public ministry, he lays it out for them, though. And he wants them to understand that he comes as Messiah to establish a spiritual kingdom. If he is my king and I am serving him, then I'm part of the kingdom. And he is laying out the spiritual kingdom. He started with a list of kingdom attitudes, what we call the Beatitudes. And he showed them the kinds of attitudes that real disciples will have. Now, we talked about those last time, and so we'll not review them this morning. But the point is that it's not a checklist. It's not that you go back and you say, okay, I got that one, I got that one, I need to work on this one. He's saying, if you are my disciples, if you're the real deal, then these attitudes will be developing in your life. And so if we use it as a checklist, if we do choose to do that, we go to the Beatitudes and we see that we don't quite measure up to his expectations yet, the answer is not that we work harder on this one or that one. The answer is that we start following him more closely, that we become a more committed disciple. And as we learn of him and become more like him, then the Beatitudes will become our attitudes in life. Well, after he talked about the attitudes of disciples, he moves on to talk about how disciples make a difference in the world, how disciples impact and influence the world around them. And that's what I want us to look at quickly this morning. The next few verses in this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. In these next few verses, he says, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I want us to consider together what that means and the power of those words. Here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. As we look at that text, the first thing that I want you to notice this morning is that disciples are change agents. Disciples are change agents. He says you're salt and you are light. Now we think about those two things quickly. Salt, salt in their day was used to flavor meat, just like ours. It was also used as a preservative. You take that fresh meat, and they didn't have a freezer, didn't have a refrigerator even. And so the only way to make it last for some time was to pack it in salt. And so they would they put that meat in salt, and it would keep it fresh longer. It would at least keep it edible. I'm not sure that it tasted real good after all that salt all that time, but it was edible. And so it was it preserved the meat. Now when he says you are the salt of the earth, he means that we are to make a difference, that we're to flavor the world around us. you know, meat's good. Meat's better with some salt on it. We're supposed to have an impact, an influence. The disciples of Christ will influence, change the world around them. The flavor becomes better. But it also preserves life around us. In other words, we live in a fallen world. Our fallen world fell because of sin. And it now is in a downward spiral, just getting more and more messed up. And it's going to continue to do that until Christ comes back and reestablishes everything. And that's part of the world in which we live. We understand that. But we can have an influence on that world around us. We can preserve those things that are right, that are true. We can slow down the spiral around us. We can have an influence, an impact. Matter of fact, not only can we, but that is our job. You are the salt of the earth. Salt flavors, makes things better. It preserves, keeps things intact for as long as possible. He says as well that you are the light of the world. I'm always intrigued by that because when he came, he first started introducing himself to folks we find recorded in the book of John. I am the light of the world. And now, he says, you are the light of the world. Well, is he confused? Is it he or is it us? Who's the light of the world? The point is, he says, I am the light of the world. Now that you are my disciples, now you are the light of the world as well. You know, we compare it often to the sun and the moon. The sun is the true source of light, right? It is the original, the true source of the light. At night, we don't see the sun, we see the moon. And we see light from the moon. But we understand that that is not the source of the light, it's a reflection of the light. I think that's there are some limitations to that illustration, but it helps. I think it clarifies somewhat. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the true source of light. Matter of fact, it says that when we all wind up, when believers wind up in heaven, all is said and done, that heaven where we will all spend eternity if we're believers, that there's no night there because Jesus is there and Jesus is the light all the time. He is the true source of light. However, as we get closer to Him, we have a relationship with Him, we become more like Him, we are able to reflect His light in the darkness around us. So we make a difference in the world around us. Why light? Why choose that as the image? Well, I thought about the reason that he would talk about light is because of the need for light. In other words, when we're in darkness, we have no sense of direction. When we're in darkness, there is fear because we can't see if we're in danger or not. We don't know. When we're in darkness, there is always the danger of obstacles that we can't avoid. We don't know to avoid them because we can't see them. So we need light. It is light that shows us the direction in which we need to go, that gives us security because we don't have to be afraid, and shows us the obstacles that we need to avoid. It's when we turn on the light that we're able to safely go from the bed to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Without it, there's a good chance we're going to stub our toe. We need the light in order to see the way to get where we need to be. And so he says to his disciples, the world around you is dark. You are the light of the world. Disciples are change agents. There's a little word in that verse that jumps out at us. And it's the word are. You. By the way, that you is the plural you, meaning working collectively, we disciples make up these images. He says, you are salt and light. Usually, I think when I've heard this and thought about it, when I've read it, I've always thought it was a challenge. You ought to be salt and light. That's not what he says. He says, you are it. You are the salt of the earth, and there ain't nobody else going to do it. You are the light of the world, and that's all there is to it. We is it. Disciples are change agents. He says, you're the salt that brings flavor and preserves. You're the light that shows direction and security, shows the obstacles to avoid, the path we need to take. You change things. That's the point of salt and light, isn't it? It changes what's around it, what it touches, what it comes in contact with. By the way, that's something else to keep in mind. Salt doesn't do any good for the steak in front of you until you actually allow that salt to come in contact with the steak. Light doesn't mean anything until it is introduced into darkness. We are change agents, but we cannot change those things around us if we stay secluded from them. That's why Scripture says that we're to be in the world, but not part of it. We are to be in the world. We can't separate ourselves and say, in order to prove my faith, I'm going to stay away from everything and everybody that's secular, and I'm going to prove that I'm separate and different. We've got to be in the world, actively involved, making contact with the world that needs salt and light, because we are the change agents. He also says, disciples, don't hide. I think that's what he means, that how we need to impact the world, we've got to be in touch with the world. And so he says, you don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. The actual terms there, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure. A lamp, the lamp was their only means of light at home. And it would have been just a clay lamp that has a well. And in that well, they would put olive oil. And from the well comes a wick. And they would burn the wick that would burn the olive oil. And he says, you're not going to take that little lamp, the only light source that they had at home, and put it under a peck measure. A peck measure, it's just a container that was used to measure out a peck. You remember the old tongue twister? Peter Piper had a peck of pickled peppers. Yeah. What's a peck? It's just a measure. It's an amount. And so he's saying, you're not gonna have a lamp and then have a bucket that's the right size for a peck and turn it over and hide the lamp. That would be pointless. And he's saying, disciples, don't hide. Jesus says, I need my disciples to be out there being the light that they are. Notice he doesn't say, let your light shine. He says, you are a light, just don't hide it. Get out there and make a difference. And so he says even, he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city on a hill can't be hidden. In other words, the city that is... The city that's low in a valley with a great big wall around it can hide. But a city up on a hill can't be hidden. People all over are going to see the lights from that city. Now, remember as well that you and I live in such an industrialized culture that we rarely ever see true darkness. Just about everywhere we go, there's some kind of street lamp or some kind of light that comes from the cities around. We almost never see darkness. In the ancient world, dark was dark, and you could see a city from miles and miles away because it was the only light around. So he says, that's what I want you to see about yourselves. As disciples, you change things. You make a difference in the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden. You are that light source. So don't try to hide who you are. When you go to work, you don't have to act and talk and think and do business the same way everyone else does, just so that you can hide the fact that you're a Christian. You don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. He says, you are the light. Don't hide it. Be who you are. Be the disciple that you're becoming. Be the light of the world that you are. Disciples don't hide. They are the light of the world. He says also an interesting statement in verse 13, if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It's good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's hard for us to get a hold of because for us, salt is always salty. Whatever salt you've got in your cabinet now, your grandkids can come in, your great-grandkids can come in 30, 40 years from now, and that stuff's still going to be salty. The reason is, by the time you and I get salt, it has been purified, and it's only salt. In their day, what they got as salt was the stuff that formed around the Dead Sea. There was salt in that, but there was also a whole bunch of other stuff. And often, the actual salt would get washed away or the impurities would cover it. And you'd get the white stuff, but it wouldn't be good salt anymore. And so he says, that kind of stuff isn't doing the job that salt's supposed to do. So he says to you, you are the salt. Be who you are. Don't hide it. Don't pretend that you're something else. You are the pure salt that remains salty. So make an influence. Make an impact. Make a difference. Disciples, don't hide. And then notice as well, disciples bring glory to God. You know, when you eat meat, it's easy to say, this needs salt. But when the salt is there, you never eat a piece of meat and say, oh, this is appropriately salted. Meat's good. That's all you think about. When you walk in a dark room and you throw that switch on the wall, you don't go in thinking. Light has shone. You just walked in a room and turned on the light. The light did its job. You see, the salt doesn't bring attention to the salt. It brings attention to the meat. Light doesn't bring attention to itself. It brings attention to the object on which it shines. One of the mistakes that we make, and by the way, this is a primary theme through the Sermon on the Mount. One of the mistakes we make is that we think somewhere along the way, this is about me. And so we show up on the scene and we say, I'm salt, I'm here to save the day. Look at what good salt I am. Why do you think he chose salt as the illustration? Because we're not supposed to notice salt. The only time we notice it is when it's not there. Or when somebody messed up and used a whole lot. The only time we notice the light is when it's not there. It's not about the salt or the light. So what is it about? Verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they stand in awe of your greatness. That's not what it says, is it? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You're the salt of the earth. Make a difference in the world around you. Not so that people will say you're wonderful, but so that they will say your God is wonderful. Be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine and make a difference. Not so people will say how wonderful you are, but so they'll look at what you're doing and who you are and they'll say, what a great God you have. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning, the opportunity that we've had to worship you, privilege that we've had to come into your presence. Lord, we want to confess to you that there are times because of busyness, because of distractions, because of selfishness, that we don't make the impact that we need to make as disciples. We're not salty salt and bright light. God, we pray you'd forgive us for that. Help us to recognize now our need to serve you so faithfully that we become the salt that makes a difference and the light that changes things. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to grow closer to you, to become more like Christ, and as we do, that we might bring you the glory.